the first thing you say. You know what? You know, wow. When I look at that, it was kind of like that was to my advantage that it turned out that way, but I couldn't see it at the time. So what I like to do is just take a couple of minutes to allow us to get a little bit centered and to focus in really on creating a really wonderful, loving, safe, healing space for us right now, knowing that we are the perfect people. We are the perfect people to be here right now. And that there's a message, there's an answer, there is some insight into some situation or circumstance that's going on in our life right now. And that maybe through something that's shared today, we will get in touch with what that answer is for ourselves. So we invite infinite intelligence, the higher power, to be a part of this energy and a part of this meeting. We ask our higher self to open us up to another way of looking at things. And I'd like you to bring to your mind just one particular issue that you know that you've been focusing on maybe today or recently that's up for you right now. Something that you know you'd like to look at differently. Something you know you'd like to see a change in. It could be a relationship. It could be a situation that you're troubled about. Something that you wish you could get in touch with what your purpose is in that situation. What the answer is for you in that situation. What I'd like to do, since we got this really cool, intimate group, I'd like to get everybody just introduce themselves, just say your name, who you are, so that everybody will know, who we're talking to. Mm-hmm. We'll start with you, my brother.
Well, my name's Dan. I've been to one of your classes.
One time.
My wife, Laurel. Mm-hmm. And I know these two from...
Oh, okay. That's right. We spoke with... Hey, brother, then you the one.
Lou, I got introduced to Earl's material through one of his lectures tied into the 12th House bookstore.
Yeah, I did some Course in Miracles classes over 12th House, and that's where Lou and I first met each other.
Yes. And been a while.
Yeah, about a year or so. Other lifetimes.
Seems like it.
Yeah,
did you hear about the class just through, did Earl tell you he was going to be teaching here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That generally make the Sunday classes, and they announced it Sunday. Mm-hmm. I happen to have some errands out this neck of the woods, and happen to have the errands.
All right, cool. The reason why the Course in Miracles to me is really, I think a lot of times people miss the humor of it because it can look so intense when you look at it, and it uses Christian terminology, but you know, it's really talking about universal spiritual themes. And what it's really trying to do is give people a reinterpretation of a lot of the stuff that we learn that we use to really delay ourselves. You know, like a lot of times that terminology has been used to really bring about more fear than to bring about more freedom. So a lot of us are recovering Baptists, recovering Catholics, recovering Methodists, recovering whatever it is. And so one of the things that the Course is doing is just trying to give us another way of looking at those terms that have nothing to do with the way that we were taught about any of it, because basically the way we were taught about it, according to this, is totally wrong in terms of the fact that it's all about love and it's not about fear. And most of the time, all of it's being used for fear and being used to control. So those of us who are, I call old souls, there's a part of us that knew that what we were hearing did not really set right with what was going on. But at the same time, that's the way it was for me. I still wanted to make a spiritual connection. And what I found in 25 years of sharing this is that a lot of times people throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, in other words, they get such a negative perception of God or the Creator or Spirit from their religion that they just chunk the whole idea of God or whole idea of higher power altogether instead of going, well, maybe there is actually a higher power, but just what I've learned about it might be incorrect. And so the stuff that I've done has always been geared toward trying to connect with people who want to make a spiritual connection, get in touch with their higher self, get in touch with their source, but at the same time, have a really good time, still recognize their freedom and get in touch with the unlimited part of it instead of all the limitation and all the fear and all the guilt. So a lot of times I feel like the people who would most enjoy the approach I use to share in the course are people who would never even hear it, because the minute they hear it's at a church, or the minute that they hear, see the terminology, which is the way I reacted the first time I looked at the Course in Miracles, they would just write it off as being another religion or another something that's going to limit them. So what blows my mind about this material all the time is that it's one of the few things that I ever studied that when you're reading it, whatever it's saying is something you can actually see how to apply right at that moment, or it's something you can do right now. Where a lot of it seems like it's real future oriented. I'm gonna take a section today that really comes through to me. That's a real powerful one to kind of plug into. It's on page one in the manual for teachers. The course is divided up into three. It's one book, but it has three different sections to it. It's got the text, which kind of describes the theoretical foundation of the material, like the basic premise of it. And then it's got a workbook that gives you ideas to apply for one idea a day for a year that you would apply to anything that was coming up, so that you would take it to the practical level instead of just all theoretical. And then at the end, it's got a manual for teachers, which really clarifies a lot of the terms that the course uses, so that when you do read the text, it'll be a lot easier when you finally get to it. I always suggest to people that, as odd as it may sound, if you want to tackle that book, to start with the teacher's manual. When it seems like that would be the last thing you would do, actually that's where I always recommend people start, because it's actually the easiest of the three books to read, and it explains so much of the terminology that you read in the text that sometimes seems kind of mystifying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever tried to look at it, but it's a really strange book. You can open it up and you can read something and you'll swear you're reading English. Have you done that? And you swear you're reading English, and you'll get through reading a paragraph, and you will wonder what you just read. Have you had that experience?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you go.
I have a hard time with it.
Yeah. So one of the things I want to do, especially when I have like the intimate groups like we do today, is I really like to take that as an opportunity to help get past a lot of those blocks of to reading it, to studying it, or how it reads, and anything like that. Because it's not until a person really, what I found, really starts to study it themselves that they see the miracles that it's talking about. And when it says miracles, it's really funny. It says that if we perceive correctly, it's a miracle. Or if we receive right answers, it's a miracle. So it's really like A Course in Miracles is saying, if we let ourselves really have the love in, if we really let ourselves have the peace, if we really let ourselves reinterpret the way we're seeing things so that we really feel good about ourselves, that's the miracle. It's not talking about parting the Red Sea. It's just, if I can forgive my mom. You know what I'm saying? That's the level of the miracle for most people. So this section right here, I really like it, because I think it really runs down exactly what we're all doing, but we don't know we're doing it. It talks about how the role of teaching and learning is actually reversed in the thinking of the world. And the reversal is characteristic. In other words, see, when you're reading it, it reads as if it's assuming that the person is not going to understand it, because it's coming from a totally different perspective from what they're normally used to. So it's almost like after every sentence you could say, well, what does this mean? And then if you kept reading, the next sentence or two would say exactly what it just said again another way. And then you would go, well, what does that mean? And so the trick is, when you're reading the course, is not to stop and try to reread a sentence or a paragraph until you understand it. That's the trick. That's how most people get stuck. They go, I read that over and over again, and I still didn't understand what it was saying. And what you'll find out later is that it's not that you didn't understand what it was saying. It's just that at that time, you weren't ready to accept what it was saying. And so you look back at it later, and you go, wow, I don't see why I said I didn't understand that. It was just so alien, probably, to the way that I'm used to thinking, that I didn't accept it. And so I didn't accept it. I said I didn't understand it. And so, like I said, the role of teaching and learning is actually reversed in the thinking of the world. The reversal is characteristic. It seems as if the teacher and learner are separated. That means it looks like I'm giving something to you rather than to myself. See, in the world, it looks like I got it, I'm giving it to you, you don't have it, so now you're getting it from me. And the Course is saying the truth is that it looks like I'm giving it to you, but I'm really giving it to myself. And then it says further, the act of teaching is regarded as a special activity. And then it says that's an activity in which one engages only a relatively small proportion of one's time. So it looks like I'm giving something to you, and not only that, I'm doing it for an hour from 12:30 to 1:30. He says, the Course, on the other hand, emphasizes that to teach is to learn, so that the teacher and the learner are the same. So the reason why I'm teaching this class is because I want to learn the Course. The teacher and the learner are the same. I'm the teacher, but guess what? I'm the learner. You know, guess who's had perfect attendance at all Earl Purdy classes? I bet you who gets a star every year? Me, because I've made every one of the classes I've ever taught. There was a couple of them I almost missed, but I was there. So what is the book saying to me? Well, it's saying that basically that the Course says it's just the opposite. The teaching is a constant process. That means that really it's going on every moment of the day, and even continuing into sleeping thoughts as well. So if you just followed me in the book, you notice how I was going through it, but all I was saying was the next part of the sentence, but it was like explaining everything as it went along. It does that all the way through the whole thing. Like it says, the act of teaching is regarded as a special activity. Can you see it as a comma? Well, what's that? Well, that's an activity in which one engages only a relatively small proportion of one's time. That is a perfect definition of a special activity. Then it says, the Course, on the other hand, teaches that to teach is to learn. So what does that mean? Well, that means the teacher and the learner are the same. Then it says, the Course also emphasizes that teaching is a constant process, comma. But what is that? Well, it means that the teaching is going on every moment of the day and continues into sleeping thoughts as well. So it's really, it's such a trip, because one of the main games that I watch people do with the Course is they get together and they analyze it. Like if you go to a lot of Course in Miracles study groups, what you find is that they'll read about one sentence of the book, and then the whole rest of the hour it'll be everybody giving their opinions about what they thought it just said, or analyzing it to death. And the Course says when you do that, all you really do is you break it down so small to the point that it's just confusing and it doesn't really make any sense. Like that first paragraph, basically, I'm teaching this because I want to learn it, and whether I realize it or not, I'm teaching and learning every minute of the day. So that's where it starts out for us, okay? So the first thing I should want to do then in any area of my life is that if there's anything that I want to learn for real, then I should put myself in a position that I'm demonstrating that I'm teaching in some kind of way, which really sounds opposite from the world, because we think that you wouldn't teach something until you've mastered it. But when it comes to changing your perception, and see, this is the part that's so cool about it. But when it comes to changing your way of looking at something, it's better to start to teach it in order to learn it. Because, of course, I wouldn't want to teach somebody how to fly a jet before I learned how to fly a jet. But if I wanted to learn how to see, let's say, the things that you do to upset me as a call for love, then I need to be teaching that some kind of way. I need to be demonstrating that. I need to be saying that. I need to be saying, okay, when you're upset, that's a call for love. See, I'm telling you that, but I'm learning it just by telling you that. So in this case, when it comes to ideas, it's really great to share ideas that you want to learn. Because the Course in Miracles is always talking about perceptions, and it's talking about ideas. It's not talking about physical circumstances. It's totally working at the mental and at the perceptual level. And at first I was wondering, well, how does that work in terms of really making a real difference in my life? Well, the second lesson in the workbook is I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me. So you're supposed to look around the room or wherever you're at and go, I'm giving that chair all the meaning it has for me. I'm giving you all the meaning you have for me. I'm giving you all the meaning you have for me. I'm giving this music all the meaning that it has for me. Now that's my workbook lesson, right? So if I'm doing that during the day, think of the power of that thought, that I'm giving this all the meaning that it has for me. Okay, so let's say my boss just said something that really upset me. Suppose I could go immediately to the idea, you know, I'm giving everything he just said all the meaning that it has for me. I'm the one. So really, in reality, it's not my boss that's upsetting me. I'm upsetting myself. You see, that, see, to me, that's what I mean by the Course in Miracles is like immediately practical. It's not something, you know, it's like, now, does that mean I'm not going to feel upset about what I think my boss said? Well, obviously, I'm already upset, so I've already reacted to that. That's a done deal. That's already done, okay? But guess what? Every time I tell myself that, regardless of the feelings that I'm having at the moment, I lessen the power of a similar situation like that to make me upset the next time. So over a period of time, I'll get, well, you know, it's really me that's giving this. And so soon, you get to the point that as soon as someone says something, your mind will automatically realize that you don't have to give power to that because you've retrained it. So if I'm teaching that, then I'm learning that. Okay, so share the ideas with the people around you that you want to reinforce in your mind. So when you're talking to somebody, it's really more about answering them in terms of what you want to receive than trying to figure out what's the best thing for them to hear. Does that make any sense? It's like, for instance, you know, if you ask me a question about what you should do with your boss, then I should answer you in terms of what would I want in, to come to me in that situation. You know, what would I want in that situation? Well, in that situation, I'm going to try to tell you that in that case, realize that the way you're feeling about what your boss said is something that you're creating within yourself. I'll tell you that what you should do is take a moment and try to shoot some peace out from your mind to your boss's mind. Notice that I didn't even get into so much whether or not you could accept what I was saying or you even like what I was answering, because the minute you asked me, then that gave me the permission to actually share with you what I really believe and what I really feel in my heart. Where had you not asked me, then it would have been a different thing. But the minute a person asks you, then it's like you owe it to that person at that time to really tell them the truth, what's true for you in that moment. And what happens a lot of times is that people are asking us stuff and we'll still try to answer in terms of what we think would be acceptable for them to hear. Now, realizing that what we say back to them is what we are reinforcing in our own consciousness and in our own mind. So I try to answer people in terms of what is the thought that I want to grow within me. Because what I've learned through studying metaphysics is that my thoughts are creating my perception, which is then creating my reality. So if I want a different reality, I've got to give myself a different set of thoughts. And then people are constantly giving me an opportunity to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, we've got a smaller group, so I welcome any thoughts, anything about what I've said, any thoughts or the comments about that.
I love that idea, because that's a big one for me, being, you know, into nutrition and into a lot of different things where I feel like I need to always help people,
mm-hmm.
and that it's really each person's individual contract and thing until they actually come and ask you
mm-hmm.
for information. And otherwise, you need to have lips, which is so hard. Just to sit there and listen and let them talk until they actually ask you or come to you.
And a lot of times, if you let the person talk, what happens is that everyone has the truth in them. It's just mm-hmm. covered up by what they've learned. So if you can let a person go ahead and get out whatever it is that's on their mind, what usually happens is at the end of them totally releasing whatever it is they need to release, a lot of times they'll come to the conclusion of what you were just getting ready to tell them. But what happens is that most people interrupt and don't let you finish, even when you're upset. Because when you're upset, people kind of feel like it's their job to try to get you to calm down. But if they're just angry, they're not like doing physical violence, it's like really better to just go ahead and let them vent and get everything off that they're saying. And then behind that would be the truth. And the truth is, number one, behind it, they'll feel some peace because they got it off their chest. And so at that point, either they will realize the truth within themselves or they'll be like, phew, thanks for letting me say that. I know I went off right then. You know, what is it? What you think about it? You know, then they're totally open. And then you get a chance based on this to then teach what you want to learn in that situation, you know, to say what you want to hear, because you're going to be with you all day. So it's really about what do I want to reinforce in myself all day today. So that's why when I get up in the morning, it's like, what thoughts do I want to reinforce? The people are going to come and go. The people are going to constantly change. But I can make this a powerful day if there's an idea that I want to change within myself, that I can use everybody that shows up in my life as a way to reinforce that. You know, I've really been working with, I've worked with my mind and with the Course so long that the ideas are really a part of my viewpoint. They're not something that I analyzed anymore. they've actually become like the way I see things. And the minute it becomes the way you see things, then the weirdest thing starts to happen, which is that your physical world actually starts to reflect back to you your viewpoint. So then all of a sudden, strangers and people that you would never think of will start to say back to you the things that you believe. And it'll trip you out because it's been happening to me so much lately that it's been blowing my mind. I was telling the group Sunday about, I went out to this club, this underground club that I'd never been to Saturday night. And in the most unlikely environment, I was meeting a friend there, and I had never been there, and they was playing very different kind of music from what I was used to. The whole little culture was like different, but it was interesting because I love checking out the parts of myself that are doing other things. You know what I'm saying? You know, because since it's all me, then it's still a way for the love that I am to get back to me. So when I walk into any environment like that, I always say a prayer, which is to ask to be recognized by who can really recognize who I am, and that if there's some kind of an opportunity for love or for connection or joining to happen, to actually do that. Now, people wouldn't think that I do that, but I do that. So I was, because I knew I was going to be invisible except to the people who recognized me. And true enough, that night, I met a guy, and he came up to me, and he asked me what I did, and I said, well, you know, I teach a class that's about really, you know, getting in touch with your power, letting go of your blocks. And then he immediately went, wow, you know, that's exactly what I'm about. That's exactly what I believe in, too, that your thoughts are creating things. We're all one. There's nothing outside of yourself that's really making you unhappy. It's really about love, and we really need to recognize that we're really all one and the same being right here. I'm really glad that we recognize ourselves, each other, in this group, because we have to be on the lookout for each other. And I really love what you're doing. Give me a card. I'd like to come. Now, the odds of that happening like that to the point that he could say back to me my belief system in a crowded nightclub, and most of the people there were in their 20s, you know, it was different. That was unique. That was unique. Going down the elevator in my apartment, the guy got on the elevator. He looked like a guy that was a motorcycle gang guy. He looked up at me and he said to me, he said, you know, it doesn't even make any difference regardless of how different we look like we are. It really boils down to love. You know that, brother? We just need to be one, and we need to just realize it's just one. I swear to God, this happened to me, okay? It's like now it's getting to the point that my subconscious mind has been affected enough by the truth, and your subconscious mind is what's creating your physical reality, that now my physical reality, the projection, the effect, is beginning to give me back the things that I what gave myself. And then the Course says that the beauty of a relationship is that we can save each other time, which means that just by us joining, it wouldn't take you 25 years of study to get to that same space, because I did it for you, because we're one. So a person that would be willing to reap the benefits of my experience could immediately go ahead and get the benefit. It's just like your mother trying to teach you how to bake a cake. And she can tell you, well, you just need, I know what the directions say, but you really need to do blah, 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 blah. Now, I could ignore that and give myself the experience and have to come back and do it again, right? Or I could immediately reap the benefit of all of her years of experience. So I get 50 years worth of experience of cooking. I get all the benefits. Why? Because then I cook a cake just like her cake. If I can cook a cake basically like her cake, right, because she gave me all the tips and I listened to them, then she effectively saved me all the cakes that messed up before she got to that cake. And that's exactly the same way it works with the Course in Miracles or anything. It's like I tell people all the time, you know, if people would listen in terms of the Course stuff, it's so much time that I could save them, because I've seen so many people, including myself, go through the same process over and over and over again. And the ones that get the miracle are always the ones that apply the ideas, and always the ones that it takes some time, even if they don't understand it, and just focus on reading it if there's nothing but a page of it. I've seen so many breakthroughs happen in situations where people thought they were up against the wall and there was no way out in their physical world when they actually focused in on the material, which is weird, because the only thing it's talking about is my perceptions, but all of a sudden, why am I having these physical breakthroughs that I never dreamed of? So the point of the first paragraph is that I need to walk out of here today realizing that I never stopped thinking, I never stopped learning, and that I'm the primary learner of whatever it is that I'm teaching right now, that the teacher and the learner are the same. And so then it goes on to the next paragraph, and then it says, well, to teach, what does that mean to teach? Well, it means to demonstrate. Ah, then you're not somebody that's just talking it, you're somebody that's demonstrating it if you're a real teacher. So that's another level that's different. So I went into the place and I said, well, I'm going to demonstrate. So my goal is not to judge anything that's going on here. My goal is to demonstrate love and to demonstrate oneness with everybody that's in this nightclub tonight. Now, I ended up meeting some really incredible, cool people and just had the best time you could ever imagine. And just because I made the decision to join to demonstrate love as opposed to just talking it, okay? So this is the cool part. He says there are only two thought systems. And you demonstrate that you believe one thought system or the other thought system is true all the time. So that's interesting, too, because we say that there are so many different ways of thinking. And the Course in Miracles says there's basically just two ways of thinking. You're either thinking in a way that is based on unity, or you're thinking in a way that's based on separation. We're either thinking in a way that's based on love, or we're thinking in a way that's based on fear. There's just two thought systems. We're either thinking in a way that's based on peace, or we're thinking in a way that gives us conflict. We have such a kaleidoscope of ways to do love and fear that we think we got all these different ways of thinking. So when I'm with you, I'm either thinking that we're joined and that we're one, which means that I want you to be as safe as I want me to be safe. I want you to be happy as much as I want me to be happy. I want you to win as much as I want me to win because I know you winning is my winning. Your peace is my peace. Or I'm sitting in front of you thinking in terms of competition, thinking in terms of differences, thinking in terms of judgment, thinking in terms of more than, less than. I'm not looking out for you. I better look out for me first. We are competing for that job. We're competing for that relationship. There's not enough to go around. Like I've heard teachers say, well, you know, somebody come to your class, they might not come to my class. Or, you know, it's like there's not enough Course in Miracles students or people who want the truth to go around. And this, to me, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. It's like the more people doing the Course in Miracles, the better it is for me. Because the more people teaching it, they're gonna be creating their circle of influence of people who are coming to learn it, right? Well, that's people who are interested in the same thing I'm teaching. So that actually increases the possibility that they may come to go, well, let me go check out Earl Purdy's class. So really, it's to my advantage if it was 1,000 Course in Miracles classes. We see that in traditional religion right now. You know, there's a church on every corner. You know, what does that mean? Well, we got a lot of people that's believing in the Bible. Well, because of that, they cross-pollinate and go different places and check out different things, right? So the Course is telling me that that's exactly what I need to think in terms of. Whatever I want to have more of, then I need to share. And so what I want to have more of is sane thoughts. So I need to share some sane thoughts so I can have more sane thoughts. So the Course says there's basically two thought systems, the sane one and the insane one. The insane one is based on guilt and separation and fear and attack, and the sane one is based on love and peace and unity and oneness. Then it goes on to say that you're demonstrating that you believe one or the other is true all the time. And then it says from your demonstration, everybody else is learning, and so are you learning. So I'm learning by my demonstration, you're learning by my demonstration, and the question isn't whether or not you're going to demonstrate. It's not a question of whether or not you're going to teach. He says, because you don't really have any choice. We think in one way or the other, so you will be demonstrating one or the other. We don't really have a choice about that. We're always demonstrating one or the other. So, he says, the purpose of the Course might be said to provide you with a means of choosing what you want to teach on the basis of what you want to learn. Okay, so what should I teach? It's whatever I want to learn. And so it gives you another basis for maybe deciding what it is you want to learn. So what is it I want to learn right now? What do I want to learn this year? The thing that I want to learn this year is that the way that I feel emotionally and the way that I feel on the inside doesn't really have anything to do with what somebody else says and does. That's my personal goal this year, is to stop telling myself at any level that if something outside of myself changed, if somebody else spoke or acted differently, if some circumstance was different, then I'll be happy. You know, just as soon as I get that raise, as soon as I get that house, as soon as I get that car, as soon as my mate puts down the lid on the toilet or whatever it is that we tell ourselves before the happiness is going to happen, you know, that I want to stop that particular game, because that's like putting a dangling a carrot before me all the time. Because if I can't be happy until Lou changes his mind about something, you know what I'm saying? If I can't be happy until everybody around me changes, then I'm never going to be happy, period. Now, all of us have heard that in one way or another, but there's something about the Course that really brings that home, that particular way is not going to work. So what do I want to do then? As much as I can, all day long, I want to say things that remind me that I'm not the victim of this situation that I'm in right now. That it's like, how can I, what do I want to do? Well, if someone tells me that they're upset about something, then I'm going to try to remind them that they're not upset for the reason they think. You know, and people go, well, what do you mean you're not upset for the reason you think? Yeah, you think you're upset because of what that person did, right? And I say, yeah, you know, they shouldn't have done that. Well, the truth is, you're upset because you're only seeing the past. What does that mean? Well, you're upset because of what you've learned to tell yourself about this situation in the past. It's what you're telling yourself right now that's upsetting you. It's not the situation. So you're really not upset for the reason you think you're upset. You're really upset because of what you're telling yourself. So one of the lessons in the workbook is, I'm never upset for the reason I think. So whatever happens that day, you're supposed to say, I'm not angry for the reason I think. I'm not jealous for the reason I think. I'm not insecure for the reason I think. Now, if that is indeed true, isn't it true whether you believe it or not? Okay, so my belief is not necessary for it to be true. Imagine how powerful a thought that is. My belief is not necessary for it to be true. Okay, let's say it's true that you are totally loved and you are totally loving and you are totally spectacular being, but you don't see yourself that way because you've been taught yourself that something's wrong with you. What you want then is to know the truth. Well, the truth is, regardless of what you feel about yourself, you're still a spectacular being, you're still an unlimited being, you're still a loving being. The personality self says, well, don't I need to believe that? Well, whether you believe it or not, you're still a fantastic, you're still an incredible being. That particular thought is the one you want. You want the thought that, regardless of what I think about myself, the universe is still going to give me love. Regardless of what I think about my financial situation, prosperity will continue to come to me. You see the difference in that belief? Rather than telling yourself, I have to believe that prosperity is going to come to me before prosperity comes to me, which is the way a lot of people set it up. You know, they make the whole thing about, let me see if I can convince myself to believe something that I don't believe. Mm-hmm. Right? Rather than, you know what? That's just the truth whether you believe it or not. And whether you believe it or not, you are a prosperous being. So what do I need to do? Well, what I need to do is I need to learn how to let go of all the blocks to recognizing what's already true about me. See, that's different from trying to put it in you. You know, if I'm trying to put it in me, the Course says that when you try to achieve something based on the idea that you don't have it, well, of course you won't receive it, because even your going out to seek it is based on the idea you don't have it. You with me on that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So if the outer is going to reflect the inner, I already believe I don't have it, then I go out and search for it and never find it, which is, you see, are people doing all the time. But they don't realize, well, the reason why you don't find it is because you don't believe it's there to begin with. And this is a reflection of what's going on inside your consciousness. So wouldn't it be better to go, you know, the happiness and the prosperity and abundance that I want in this world is really within me. But if it's within me, then it also is without. That's deep when you think about it. So that means if I don't see it, then I just have some blocks to seeing it. Okay, well, that's great. Now, if I go out here in the world to express myself and to experience myself from the perspective that it's there, but I just don't see it. So what I want to do is let go of everything that keeps me from seeing it. Then I'm going to find it because it's already there within my own consciousness. So that's another tip. As we go out into the day, the rest of the day, you want to go out from the perspective of, I'm going out to experience whatever I'm going to experience based on the idea that it is there. How do I know it's there? Because I thought it. How do I know it's there? Because I conceived it. And if I conceived it, that means it's there. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have even conceived it unless it was already there. As a matter of fact, my conception of it was the tip from the universe that is there for me. The mere fact that it even came up in my mind. Because there's some people that won't even conceive of certain things. You can even try to suggest it to them, and they'll still oppose you because they're not ready for it. Anybody that comes to a course class, whether they really realize it or not, these are very old souls that are ready to really wake up to their creative power and who they really are and really get rid of the blocks. And so what the course does is that it simplifies everything. So what do I do? Well, how can I get rid of guilt? Well, one of the best ways in the world of getting rid of guilt is in the very next sentence. You can't give to someone else, but only to yourself. Most people are feeling bad because of what they thought they gave to someone else. And the course is saying, well, actually, you can't give to someone else. You can only give to yourself. So you're giving to yourself. They're giving to themselves. They're giving to themselves through you. And you're giving to yourself through them. But what I think about myself and what I really believe about myself, and this is the part that's hard sometimes, is what's actually determining what I'm perceiving and experiencing from everybody else. So the truth is, if you're giving me a hard time, it's me giving me a hard time through you. But it's going to look like you gave me a hard time. But when you decide to wake up, you realize, wait a minute, this is me giving me a hard time. So what I really need to do, instead of focusing on them, is I need to get in touch with what is it within me that thinks I need and deserve this conflict? Why am I trying to punish myself right now? Why am I asking for this perception to come to me right now? And so then I take it back within my own mind instead of thinking that I got to get you to change your mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Earl, there's no test at the end of this, is there?
No. What it is in this is...
I was still working on that thought about 20 minutes ago.
But that's the cool part. Because the reason why I share many thoughts the way I do is because, truly, I'm glad you say that, the way that I approach teaching, me personally, is that each person is the same thing. I believe that everybody that comes to my classes are teaching themselves. So it's really irrelevant what I say. Okay? Because everybody in here that's listening to me, they're going to give whatever they hear, whatever meaning it has for them, and they're going to censor. They're going to censor some stuff. They're going to let some stuff through. So each person walks out of their own individual class that they received, right? Mm-hmm. That they taught themselves based on what it was they decided to accept from me. So what I do is I try to give out enough ideas that there'll be one idea that'll come through that would be the idea that would give you an aha moment, right? And then that means, this is one that I think I'm going to run with. So if a person walks out of here with one idea that they're willing to run with, they don't realize it, but that if it's a truth, that one idea can lead them into all truth. So I always encourage people to not even try to come from the perspective of, I'm going to try to remember everything that he said, but to do it from the perspective of, there's a message for me, and I want to see what that message is that I can walk out of here with today. So if you're still working on something I said 20 minutes ago, then that idea... stick with it. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one you want to run with. Because the next one that really hits you, it will literally jerk you out of the past. It's like, in other words, you might think you're still dwelling on what I just said, but the next thought that's your thought, it'll pull you right into the present moment. You go, what did you say? Say that again. You see, that's where your higher self will literally take you out of that pondering and allow you to hear the next thought that you're supposed to hear, which is deep. Mm-hmm. Which is deep. So and that does that easier, isn't it?
Oh, that's always so helpful to me to think, okay, I'm going to leave it with one thing.
Yeah, just one. Because
that's all my little mind.
But think about the power of that, though. If you took all the power of your thought and you put it behind one idea, that is incredible. That's like a laser. It's like making your mind like a laser beam. And it talks about that in the book, about how it's much easier to remember one thing than to try to remember a lot. We go, duh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know. Or there's one lesson that goes, there's one problem and one solution. And that your lesson all day long is just to tell yourself, I have one problem. Even though, which is a trip when you think about it, because you have all these different things that have come up during the day that you think are challenges, and you go, there's only one problem and there's only one solution. You can't tell me, thinking that you have one problem, isn't more peaceful than thinking you have your child problem, your mama problem, your relationship problem, your money problem, your health problem. You see what I'm saying? So just the Course even saying that immediately gives you more peace. Just that whole idea, even if you don't believe it, I just have one problem, and there's just one solution. It's, what I'm looking at is my one problem manifesting itself in a lot of different ways. And you guess what? All these different ways are just trying to trigger me to come back to the one problem, you know. So sometimes when people call me, like I have friends that will call me for a while, people usually stop. Because I do something that's very maddening when they call me, which is this. I don't ever try to think of different answers for different problems. I try to give the same answer no matter what the problem is. See, you said that it just tripped somebody out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like last week they were upset because their daddy said something that they didn't like. And then I would give them the same answer, you know, whatever that answer was. And next week I got pulled over and I just, you know, got my license suspended and I got to go to court. And they're looking for me to come up with a different answer. First of all, can you see how big of a challenge that would be? For everybody to call you, you're supposed to figure out an answer for them? That's crazy. You wouldn't have no peace yourself. But it's back to what do I want to learn? You know what I'm saying? Well, I always say the same thing. Well, the way I go through anything that's a challenge for me, after studying the Course and it's really tripping me out, is the first thing I do is I try to give me a quiet place and I dive in the book and I focus in on the truth and I meditate and I read and I focus on the truth. Because I believe that all the things that come up in my life to distract me are just tricks that I'm trying to play on myself to make me think I can't have a peaceful, loving existence. So when I have a problem, I see it as a defense against the truth or defense against my peace. This is just another way I'm trying to keep myself upset. And this is just another way I'm trying to keep myself upset. So I call all the things that happen to me that upset me a trick. It's a way that I'm trying to fool myself into thinking I'm not this unlimited spiritual being, that I'm not a child of God, that I'm alone, that I don't have help. Now, if the purpose of the problem is to make you forget the truth that you deserve to be happy and you deserve peace, right? If the purpose of the problem is to make you forget the truth, if you use the problem to remind you of the truth, then you are rendering the problem meaningless. And that's what people don't get. It's like, if the purpose of this upset is to make me forget about my peace, and I take the upset and go, this is going to make me get more into studying and more into my peace, then the part of my mind that believes in conflict, which the Course calls the ego, says all of us have one, that there's a part of our mind that loves fear, loves guilt, loves anger, loves attack, loves conflict, is all about that, right? Most of us are aware of that. But the Course says, literally, that's a part of your mind, and it survives through keeping stuff going all the time, because all that upset and anger keeps us separate. Right? So there's a part of my mind that wants to be separate. There's a part of my mind that wants to join you. There's another part of my mind that wants to be totally separate. Well, the Course says, well, you can only be separate through judgment and through fear, right? Because if I'm afraid of you, I'm not going to join with you too fast. So it says there's a part of our mind that has a vested interest in keeping us upset about one thing or another all the time to maintain this separate identity. You with me? So people don't know that the problems are coming from their desire to be separate instead of coming from the things in the outer world that they think is upsetting them. So if you were to go, this is just another trick to make me be separate, another trick to make me think I can't have peace, then the part of your mind that's creating that conflict so that you can forget your peace and oneness, it won't want to continue to create those problems. Because if me creating this conflict is making you go towards your peace, then the part of you that wants to make conflict is not benefiting. So every time you're upset about something, if you go in the direction of the truth, or you go in the direction of any kind of meditation, or you go in the direction of any kind of peace, that's just the opposite of what the part of you that's trying to create that conflict wants you to do. So when you get the part of you that creates your conflict And it starts to realize that there's another part of you that you're going to go to every time it tries to give you a hard time. You're going to go to God. You're going to go to love. You're going to go to peace. Then it's, you're going to find that a lot of the things that upset you in your life are going to start to automatically drop away. Because that part of your mind that creates conflict is not going to continue to do it if you're going to always go toward the truth and the peace instead of indulging in more conflict. Now, if I give you conflict to distract you, and then you dive off into it, and you get all into it, and you wallow in it, and you get all upset, well then, hey, you lost sight of who you really are, right? You lost sight of your peace. You lost sight of your spiritual identity. Okay, that part of you that wants you to lose sight of that, it goes, well, you know, oh, well, I gave Earl a whole lot of hell. He forgot all about love, truth, God, oneness. I gave him a financial problem. I gave him a health problem. I gave him a problem with his boss. He bought right into it. He just is upset now. He's angry. He's not remembering any spiritual truth. He's not remembering any of the stuff he said he wants to learn. Oh, I'm going to give him more. I'm going to give him more distraction. I'm going to give him more upset. So when a person is most upset is when they're least likely to focus on the truth. But it's when they're most upset that they need to, so that they can show themselves that, hey, you know what? The part of me that doesn't love me, you try to give me a hard time, I'm going to go straight to the part of me that does love me, which helps to dissipate your influence. This is all going on in the mind. This is deep. I know this is kind of deep. I mean, I jumped right in because it's profound in its simplicity. The challenge is we identify mostly with the part of us that goes through the conflict. So it sounds like it's almost like we're being asked to get rid of ourselves in a way. It's kind of weird. It's like we don't realize how much we identify with the part of us that thinks is out here trying to make it, going through all these changes. And so it looks like somebody actually hurt me instead of realizing they didn't hurt me. I'm just identifying with the part of myself that I think got hurt. I'll say that again. You know, what I'm doing is I'm identifying with the Earl that's upset. But that's not really Earl. I'm just identifying with the Earl that's upset. And what the Course is trying to get me to do is to learn that the purpose of the part of me that's upset is to make me forget my spiritual identity, forget love, forget truth. So if my mind is peaceful, if my mind is full of the truth, and my mind is full of love, then I'm going to manifest a physical reality that is a reflection of that. And so what happens is that your physical world becomes more peaceful, and so you believe in the peace more, so you turn around and you create it more. And so after a while, you start to automatically create more and more peace, like you used to automatically create more and more conflict. Your mind flips. You see why the conflict increases? I'm upset about what you did to me, right? I get mad at you. I don't forgive. I don't go to my truth. I stay and argue with you. So what did that do? That just convinced me even more that peace doesn't exist for me, right? So now I believe peace doesn't exist for me more, right? So now it's not just you I'm upset. Guess what? The guy right there, he just stole my parking space. Now I had two people that's upset me. Now I believe it even more that I can't be peaceful, right? So now I believe it more. So guess what? Now this is the person that should have delivered my package yesterday, but it didn't get delivered for 3 days late. Why? Because I already believe in conflict. Now I'm in more conflict, right? So now I believe in conflict more. Loop. Now it's four people who's upsetting me. And people don't realize that it's just, that's the way it works. I think it, I see it. So I believe it even more. So then what? I create more of it. And I believe it even more. And do what? Then I create more of it. And so you have to reach that point where that's the hard part. Where you meet the attack and the anger without diving into it more and therefore reinforcing it. Where you go, this is the way I feel in this situation and circumstance. Just want to let you know how I feel about this. And then I leave, especially if I'm getting ready to go off. First thing I try to do, if I'm really, really mad at somebody and I really, really want to go off, I train my mind to go. Like if I want to call somebody, everything you can possibly think of, every MF that ever walked the earth, everything that's come through my mind, it's coming. It's right. Just I go. I train my mind to take a breath. Instead of saying something, breathe. And so now I go, or I'll say something I didn't even expect to say at all. You know, like, hey, you know, you're totally innocent. I'll take a look at this and See, there's something about this I need to take a look at. Then I walk away and go, who in the hell was that? Who just said that? You know what I'm saying? Because I was all ready to cuss them out. You know, it's your right mind, if you train your right mind when you're not upset, a lot of times when you are upset, it will automatically come out in spite of you. And you'll be amazed at the same loving things that come out of your mouth to the point you go, who did say that? So this is what the Course does. The Course allows you to totally reprogram your perception so that you in turn, so that you start to automatically do the things you used to try to force yourself to do in terms of right perception. And that's going to be the journey that we're going to be on, you know, on Tuesdays, you know, every way possible. So that when we walk out of here, you know, every situation that comes up, it'll be another opportunity for us to teach ourselves how to have more peace and have a good time. Because I can't, you know, whatever we do, we need to be having a good time. Or we don't do it at all. You know what I mean? So I'm going to talk a little. If you get a chance to read this section, take a look at it, because it is really, really a deep section. And I'm going to go into more about it, because what it's doing, I'm noticing, is that it's triggering associative ideas from other parts of the book to bring into the conversation to help make it easier for all of us. You know, so it's just a quick, not a test, but is there any idea that kind of stuck out for anybody that they don't mind verbalizing to teach themselves?
I only have to walk away with one thing.
Okay, what's one thing you think you walked away with?
That was it.
That you need to walk away with only one thing?
I could just... It's not even walking away with one thing. It's just everything that you talk about, you grab onto and go, oh, that's the one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, it's now it's the one. That's the one. Oh, no, that's the one.
Yeah.
So just trying to, I don't know how, I guess once the terminology, not saying, you know, using a thing, but just kind of letting go and saying, it's okay, I don't have to grab everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of sit back, listen to it.
Thank you.
And try to walk away with one thing and not...
Yeah, because I mean, it's been an hour.
Yeah. And I think we're programmed to think in the, you know, in all the years of schooling and work, that everything you come across, you've got to be able to internalize, memorize, and spit back out.
Right.
So I'd be able to sit back and just say, mm-hmm. I can take a break.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm doing a relationship workshop on the 12th of February. And that's what's going to be funny about it, because I know that people are going to come to that workshop already think they know what I'm going to talk, what we're going to do. And it's like, anything that's based in the Course, it's always going to take an approach that you didn't think of. That's the beauty of it. It's the same truth that everybody, you can get a million other ways. I'm not saying it's the only way at all, but it just has its own little way of doing it that makes you go, whoop, like you should have seen that today. You know, just in the way a lot of the stuff is said. That's what grabs me about it. You know, but the problem is that it's easier and it's simpler. And we're so used to complexity that it's hard for people to grasp, because it's so profoundly simple. It's really, like everything I said today was really profoundly simple. But if you do it, it'll trip you out, because you'll actually see that it's true. Like you can see that whatever I said today, you're the one that's giving it all the meaning that it has for you. But nobody ever says that. But you know, and then your mind goes, well, if that's true, then that's true with everybody. Uh-oh, you know. And if the meaning I'm giving it is determining how I'm feeling, right, and I really want to feel good, that's basically what everybody's working their cans off for. They think they're going to achieve something that's going to allow them to feel good, right? So they don't realize that the reason why they don't feel good is what they're telling themselves, right? So all of a sudden, when you get this thing about meaning, you start to see the most awesome possibility, which is the possibility of being able to actually control your emotions and your feelings. To me, that's the most awesome power anybody could ever possess. It's the power to choose how they feel. Mm-hmm. Wow! Because that's all everybody ultimately complains about anyway. They go, you know, I want to make more money, but really, why do you want to make more money? Well, you think if you make more money, then you're going to feel better. Well, why don't you go straight to feeling better? You know, why don't you why don't you skip over trying to come up with another $1,000 a week and just go straight to feeling better? And you know the weird part about it? Once you feel better, you're going to attract $1,000 a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the thing that's blocking it is the fear and the fact that you're not magnetic, because you don't feel good. So everybody has it exactly reversed, and the Course just flips it. Let me take you straight to the feeling, and then let the feeling create the physical circumstance that you're looking for. So I went into the club, right, with the feeling, and then that feeling drew people to me in the club full of strangers who were physically cool to be with.
And it materialized.
Yeah. And it materialized. Rather than saying, let me go in here and let me see if I can find somebody that's going to turn me on tonight. You know, which is where the hunt, as I call it. You know, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to see who's going to be the one. All right, let me see what I can get here tonight. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to be loving. And I'm going to see who's attracted to me. I'm going to see who recognizes me. And that's the, and that's an awesome approach to relationships, too, in the way that that works. So, anybody else right quick?
That the negative circle of being agitated at one person, which brings conflict from the second and third and the fourth person, and if that spiral continues, you've got an enormous amount of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And in other areas, wherever it is that you have the fear, and you put that fear out and it attracts more fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that, and I've gotten myself to the point where it's listening to this, and I'm going, I have enough fear that I'm paralyzed. How do I stop the descent and get it turned around, headed back in a positive spiral when everything around just amplifies the negativity?
Well, that's the whole point. That was the point. That was what I gave, was the way out of that spiral. The way out of
on the book.
The way out of that spiral is to tell yourself the truth in that situation, which is that you're not the victim of those people in those negative situations, that it's your own interpretation of what's going on that's making you feel the way that you feel, and they're not doing anything to you. It's what you're telling yourself that's making you feel the way you feel. To tell yourself you are innocent, you are powerful, you are not alone. All of these thoughts in the book, those thoughts are the way out. And that's what people miss almost all the time, is that the way out of it is what you're teaching and what you're telling yourself. And so even if it's a horrible situation, you still feel better. I've never been in a situation, I've been in a lot of terrifying situations in my experience, where I don't care how bad it was, I always felt better after I got through reading the Course, after I got through going to Inner Truth book that would give me another way of looking at it and give me some kind of a loving, positive idea about it. Because my upset in that situation is coming from what I'm telling myself. So if I told myself something different, even if it was just this much, I would feel a little bit better. And just feeling a little bit better seemed like it would always open up an opportunity for a healing of some sort to occur. But most people won't do that, though, Lou. They won't. When they upset, they'll go, what should I do? It don't matter. Open it up anywhere. Read a paragraph. Whatever the thing is that motivates you, pop that tape on. All the Spirit is looking for is just one instant where you're not focused on the thing that you think is upsetting you, so that your real self can come through and heal the situation. You know, we're not alone. We're just in our way. And that's the problem. We just are totally in our own way. And the way to get out of the way is to give yourself an instant of peace. He says over and over again, if you just back off just for a second, just give the universe a little bit of an opportunity to get in there, which in our case would be getting away from the situation, meditating, pick up the book. Whatever it takes to get away from the situation for just a minute in peace would give us a solution. What we do is we dive in it deeper. You know what I'm saying? And then the once you pull back,
spiral's picking up speed.
Yeah, yeah. And so instead of pulling back for a minute, you know, like I tell people, do whatever it is you would normally do that's peaceful that you would do if you had never read the truth. You know, whatever that would be. You think you don't have any money? Then go out and try to find a new job. Okay? But in the meantime, be studying your prosperity laws, working on your inner self, you know, while you're doing that. So I'm gonna do the love offering now. I'm gonna do
a quick cute story.
Go ahead.
When you were talking about people calling you, I was listening to a tape one time, and Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra, I guess, are friends. And Wayne Dyer says he feels like Deepak's kind of his
big brother, his father, he says, and I don't know why I keep calling him. Every time I have a problem, he pops into my mind, and I'm dumb enough to call him, and I call him, and every time I call him, he says the same thing. Meditate.
And you know, that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's such a trip. You know, it's like, I don't know if people think I'm from the planet Mars or something, but whatever I'm sharing is something that I've done over and over, and then I've had the chance to see a lot of other people do who actually succeeded. So I've gotten a chance over the years to see who really seemed like they really succeeded and would improve, and I got a chance to see the ones that stay stuck. And so it's so cool to be able to share with people from a sense of really, you know, not just theory. You know what I'm saying? It's like what you're doing right now will shift everything. It's awesome. It's awesome. So anyway, I'll pass that.
Don't forget too, if you make your checks out, Earl, I don't know if you want to say that in this situation, but if you make it to Unity Temple, then it's tax deductible. If you make it to Earl, it's not.
Yeah, you can do that.
Are you going to record that relationship?